chapter 15, one of the greatest texts in our Bible. It seems some texts are more dear to my heart. Maybe it's because I can relate to them so. I've preached out of this text numerous times. But I found out the choir sung Amazing Grace a while ago. When we sing a song one time, we don't tear it out of a red book hymnal and don't sing it no more. We sang what the Lord says sing and what works. And so, I remember one night at revival, I preached out of the same text all three nights. But here today, Luke 15, story of the prodigal son. And before anybody has a very judgmental thought about this Bible character, I want to tell you, it's all in you too. It's inside of every one of us. We have an animal that lives inside. He's ugly. He's got real bad breath. Got a lot of ego about him. And so we better not point our finger at anybody and say, I couldn't do that. Because you could do that. Without the grace of God, where would we be this morning? Let me read one verse, let you sit down. Y'all have eat all week, you ready to sit down. Verse 11, he said a certain man had two sons. That's where I want to get started. You may be seated. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and his goodness and his mercy. I want to thank you, God, for these that have testified today. I want to thank you one day you came to where I was. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace and mercy and your compassion. So I want to thank you how good you've been to our church and our families. Lord, I pray now you'd let preaching be easy. I pray that the good Spirit of God would lead and guide us now and be a blessing to the people. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I preach, we've got two short announcements. Mission trip meeting right after church today. And then, I want to say, I'm thankful that the Lord's still in the saving business. Now, let's watch our Bible. He said, who? The Lord's speaking in a parable. He's talking to the Pharisees and scribes in verse 2. It starts in these three main line, or four really, parables. You'll see there was a sheep that had drifted. We all were sheep. We went astray. But aren't you glad he left the 99 and went after that which was lost? Bible said he laid upon his shoulder and came back, and there was joy in that flock that day. So there was the sheep that has drifted. Then remember the silver that was dropped. It's in this passage. It was very special to this lady. She lit a candle. She got a broom and she swept the house till she found. I'm glad the good Spirit of God can sweep the house and find that which is lost. And she turned the light on. I'm glad one day God shined a light on my filthy heart and saved me by His good mercy and His grace. Then here, not only the sheep that had drifted, the silver that had dropped, but here we see the son that was departed. The Bible speaks of two of them. They were different children. So he said that this certain man, he had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, and he divided them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living or loose living. when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, sent him to his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And so when he came to his cell, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish for hunger? He said, I'll arise, go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came, and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And he had compassion. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Verse 22, look there, Brother Tim, sort of like Ephesians, ain't it? But the father said. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want to preach a little message this morning on lessons from the hog pen. Lessons from the hog pen. Isn't it amazing that the Lord used this illustration in this text that he might not only warn us, but he would instruct us? And so we see here, first of all, there was the warnings before the pen in verse number 12. The younger of them, he said, Father, give me the portions. I want to say, first of all, the warning before the pen. Look at his attitude. He felt like the father owed him something. He said, give me the portion that falls to me. I want to remind everybody here, God don't owe us nothing. But we owe him everything. And so we see his attitude, and now we see his additions. His prayer was answered, and the father handed him half of his living. You know, that reminds me something before I go any further. We better be careful about what, not only what we pray about, but how we pray about it. We should say, Father, if it's thy will, let me have this. I sure am thankful for the prayers God hadn't answered for me. Because I prayed some crazy stuff in my life. One time I prayed, I said, Lord, please send me down there. Well, they would have killed me deader than a doornail if I'd went to that church. I mean, they'd just kill me, and I'd have killed everybody back. It wouldn't have been nothing left but splinters and smoke. You're talking about a smoke bomb, honey. There'd been a smoke bomb in that sanctuary. But how many prayers have we asked, and we ought to adjust our praying and say, God, if this is your will, Lord, if it's your will for me, would you allow this? And I tell you how I pray. I say, Lord, I'm not smart enough to figure it out. God, would you help me with it and show me? Because, God, I don't know what to do. And so this warning before the pen, we see that it had something to do with right kind of praying. Lord, help us to pray right. You know, in Luke's gospel, I think it's chapter 11, I saw it this morning. Let's take a look at this. He came to pass as he is praying in a certain place, he ceased. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to him, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He said in verse 2, thy will be done. It's very important that we have the right kind of praying. So there's some warnings before he got there. His praying wasn't right. He felt like the Father owed him something. And let me tell you something, we ought to lose that attitude in our lives and in our church. When we come in here, we all ought to stand up and testify and say, thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to me. Because, Lord, you don't owe me nothing, but I owe you everything. So there's some warnings for the pen. Secondly, there's a wind coming from the pen. You ever smelt the hog pen? That's a terrible thing. You know, there's not a lot of hog parlors here, but Brother Randall lives down close to one. I went to one day. It was a brooder house. They raised pigs. Matter of fact, a preacher friend of mine, Brother Gary Stewart, he pastors at Corinth, he was working there about 30 years ago. I went and visited him. Talking about the wind from the pen. And I'd never been into a hog parlor. I was raised in a farm. We'd kill 6 or 8 hogs a year around a hog pen. But I'd just never been into a barn with a small ceiling in it where they was raising hogs. Now that's something else to smell. It's unbelievable. I'll never forget, Brother Randall, I just bought me a blonde pair of cowboy boots. And I got out of the truck, and I didn't know I was going to no hog parlor. I was going to see this preacher, and he said, well, just come on in here. Well, when I walked in, he was spraying the concrete down the hose pipe. And so I got that on my boots, and I got in my truck. And I didn't smell it, though, in the truck. But when I got home, and I walked in the house, and they said, woo, you stink. Where have you been? And I looked, and I had to throw my new cowboy boots away. They was just done with. You know, we live in the part of the country where it's a lot of chicken houses. You pass by a chicken house, somebody said, whew, that stinks. And I hear somebody say this crazy remark, oh, that don't smell bad. That smells like money. It don't smell like money to me. Somebody help me preach a little bit this morning. Oh, the wind from the pen, he... You know, and so we see he's there at the house, but it was seemed to be a breeze blowing his way. It was an earthly wind. And boy, that wind blows across all of our porches. The world says, come on out here. Man, we turn on the TV on our iPhones, and that wind just comes all down toward our house. You better watch them bad winds coming your way. So it was an earthly wind. I want to say it was an exciting wind. Me and Brother Mike talked a little bit yesterday. You know, sin is fun, but it's only for a season. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so that's why the world is so enticed. This sin looks fun. Now, I'm not ignorant. I know it's fun just for a little bit. But let me tell you, the repercussions of sin ain't worth getting in sin. It ain't worth it. And so here, the warning of the pen and the wind from the pen, it was an earthly wind, it was an exciting wind, but it was an extracting wind. It drew him away. Look in verse number 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all and took his journey to a far country. Boy, isn't it so sad when you see people leave the blessings of God and go out yonder. And so here, as he's teaching this parable, we see the warnings before the pen. He prayed wrong. He was not thankful of really what he had. He felt like the Lord or his father owed him something. The wind from the pen, he got a glimpse of something. And I want to say something to mom and daddy. You ought to watch your children with their tablets and their iPhones, that something don't go in their little eyes and goes in their brain that they never get over. The wind that is blowing. Watch about your children. We live in a culture now. Kids are being raised by tablets and iPhones. They don't know what army men are. They don't know what they are to set them up on a picnic table and shoot them with a Daisy BB gun one by one. Somebody say amen. Oh, so watch, be careful as these winds blow. They were extracting, they took them away from the Father's house. And then verse 13, watch this, not on the wind from the pen, there's the walking to the pen. The Bible said in verse 13, he took his journey. Watch this, I noticed in the Bible how expressly it says some things, and he took his journey. I've had my journey. I didn't like it. Felt pretty good to start with, but it didn't work out too good. And so now he took his journey. And if we're not careful, everybody here has a particular journey that we can take that will leave us real bad. And so here he, this walking to the pen, took his journey. It was a selfish walk. Yeah. I've heard people say this, well, it don't affect nobody but me. That's a lie. It affects our church. It affects your family. It affects your friends. Every decision we make, it affects other people. How many times have I heard, leave me alone, preacher. This is my decision. But our decision, it affects other people. So it was a selfish walk, walking to the pen. But watch this, not only was it a selfish walk, it was a very short walk. He got there in a hurry. The Bible said he took his journey to a far country and there he wasted his substance with righteous living. Didn't take him long to get down there. You know what scares me to death? Is if I get on the wrong track, it won't take me long to get down there. You say, preacher, you fix to be 63 years old. You've been saved 40-something years. Are you kidding me? No, I ain't kidding you a minute. I'm telling you, we better watch this flesh that we live in. You know, these preachers tickle me. They act like they're bulletproof and nothing bothers them. They're liars. Because we're all human, aren't we? And so, this walking to the pen, it was selfish, but affected others. It was a short walk, and it was a sad walk. So sad to see people go in that direction. But now in verse 13, not on the walk into the pen, looking at the wallowing in the pen. Look what the Bible says. It simply said, and there, you can circle that, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. Oh my goodness, there he wasted his time, his talents, and all of his treasures. Everything that the Father had entrusted him with, he found himself wallowing in this place that he really didn't think he would ever get there. Young people, the devil will show you the pretty billboards. They'll show you the pretty Budweiser commercials and Anheuser-Busch, the Coors, the pretty things, the highlight, but they don't show you the backside of them billboards. And so the devil just shows you the pretty side of stuff. But here we see this wallowing in the pen. But now, this is what I want you to see today. This is where I wanted to get to. Look at this wakening in the pen. Something happened to this young man. The Bible said something that I never really thought about. Look in verse number 17. When he came to himself. Yes, sir. When he came to himself. Now, Bible didn't say he found himself. It sure don't say he left himself. But he came to himself. Hey, Brother Adam, stand right here just a minute. I don't do this much. I don't like people doing this preaching for me. I don't embarrass nobody, but I love you and church loves you. But just stand right there just a minute. Watch this. Now, he came to himself. I never thought about this till today. He's out wallowing in this pen. He's spent everything he's got. He's eaten the husk of the hog farmers. He's tried to join himself to a citizen of that country. But watch this. He wasn't a citizen of the country. He tried to join himself to a citizen of the country. But he wasn't a citizen of that country. You know why? He didn't belong where he was. I mean, you don't belong in the world. We don't belong in sin. Tried to join himself to a citizen, but something had happened to this boy. I'm preaching him saved this morning, backslid. He wasn't a citizen. He didn't belong. There were strangers and pilgrims. And let me get back to my thought. That rabbit jumped up. Watch this. He came to himself. He's down here and he's starving to death and he's wondering and he's walking around. All of a sudden he bumps into himself. He came to himself. You can be seated now. He came. His self was there and he came to it. Came to himself. He didn't lose himself. Didn't find himself, but he came to himself. Isn't that amazing that his self had outrun him? I don't guess none of y'all never been there, but his self outrun him. He came, his self was done there, and he came to his self. Boy, when he got there, he said, "What in the world are you doing here? What in the world are you doing here?" Came to himself. I don't know about y'all just talking to me, but you know, a lot of times when I find myself, I don't like what I find. I heard people say a lot of times, "Preacher, you know, you need to relax. You need to go off somewhere and just be with yourself." I don't like being with myself. My wife's real quiet. She don't talk a lot. The older we've got, the more her and I have got in our ways. Anybody else live with anybody like that? I mean, she'll sit over there and not say 9 words all night. I say, "Honey, you alive?" She said, "Yeah, I just don't like talking to you right now." Somebody say amen. Boy, we got to realize he came to himself. Look where his self got him to. Would y'all hear this old preacher? I'm about done. Watch yourself. Ain't that pretty good preaching? Watch yourself. Even though we're saved, we've got self to deal with. This flesh will never be saved. The Bible says we must be born again. We must realize we are a sinner. When we call out to the Savior by faith, He says He saves us. Bible says the Spirit of God comes and lives in us and He seals us. He puts a stamp upon us. But He don't save our flesh. So we have to watch ourselves. Came to himself. Now watch this, I've been done preaching. The awakening in the pen, he came to himself. Done said this, it all started when he got what he demanded in his prayer, and Lord, help us to pray right. Then he found out something about people. Look in verse 13. I skipped it, but I want to get back. "Not many days after, the young son gathered all together, took his journey to far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living, and when he had spent all." You don't need friends that you have to buy. Boy, when I was running that Pepsi plant, I had friends in line, Brother David, plumb down the hall. Because they could get something from me that they needed. As long as you've got stuff, you'll never really know who your friends are. But I'm glad there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Back in the days, me and Renee was talking about with the kids yesterday. I used to fish, every chance I got, I'd go 20 degrees. It didn't matter, 18 degrees. Was on the lake, was fishing. As long as I had a boat full of gas, something to pull it with full of gas, I had friends. When I got saved and pulled that weed out of my boat, it's like somebody took the phone out of my house. But I'm glad when the Lord saved me, Brother Lee, give me new friends. Give me friends that I don't have to buy. You need them kind of friends in your life. Friends that will just love you for who you are and what you are. And you won't have many. But thank God we've got some. So the waking in the pen. He woke up about his praying. He woke up about people. He woke up about his possessions. Verse 13, the Bible said, when he took it all, he wasted it all. It was all gone. Might not have seemed like he had much when he left, but it was a whole lot more than what he had now. The devil won't show you what you got, just what you don't got. Taught him something when he woke up about people, possessions, and then he taught him something about pleasures. You see, everything he wanted or needed was back at the Father's house. He simply said, he went and joined himself to citizens of that country. Verse 16, would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He said, I will rise and go to my Father. Now watch this, I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before you and the word that called you son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He arose and came to his father. Watch this. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He might not could see the father. But the father never lost sight of him. He saw him. How many times in my life have I said this, Lord, are you looking? Lord, do you know where I am? But I sure am glad it don't matter how far we go. There's a Father that loves us. He's looking. You know what I found out about getting in them bad kind of places? Miss Sherry, if you'd come, hon, I'd appreciate it. You know what I found out about when we get in them kind of places? We can get home. You see, he knew enough about the Father, I might have to go back as a servant. But he said, I can go back. But when the Father saw him, he had compassion. The Father, when he got back, the Father didn't kick him. Let me ask y'all something. When people get out and sin and get in trouble, and they come back and repent before God, because he did repent, he turned his back on the world, and he come back to the Father didn't kick him. Why do y'all want to kick people that's down? He kissed him. No, we're not glad anybody's out in sin. We're not going to clap because they're acting crazy. And it's just sad. But it reminds me today I could be here, and I want to remind you, you could be here. I've heard it said this before. How could somebody do that, preacher? You don't want to admit it, but it's in you too. Man, people can run me off the road, and I don't care how saved I am. I do stuff that I don't want y'all to know about. It's not the best example. I know it. It ain't. I didn't say that. It's just it's a real deal. And we have to watch this flesh. And we have to say, Seth, we can't do that. Can't do that. What you thinking? But he came back to the Father, and the Father had compassion on him. I wonder what the rest of that story is. The Bible speaks of him a little bit. You know, he had an elder brother who got upset because the Father showed compassion on him. He said, I never left you. I never done this. And you give him a fatted calf. You ain't never killed no fatted calf for me. But I bet you Every now and then this boy would ease up to his father and he'd say, "Thank you. Thank you for loving me when I was so unlovable." You may be here today. You may be in that place. I'm going to tell you, you can get out. But you got to come to yourself and realize there's a Father that will receive you and accept you. I wonder, would you want to be saved today? He would save you by the grace of God. See, God sent His Son to die for me and you. The Bible says, there's none good, no, not one. Boy, I'd love to get up to some of them churches today where everybody's got everything all shined up. Brother Shane got all them robes and matching. And a preacher get up and say, "Y'all are ugly. So ugly inside. None good, no, not one. We all need Jesus. We all need the grace of God." Miss Sherry, play. I just wonder this morning, anybody need to pray and say, "God, help me.